A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of their little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord. How we define, understand greatness will motivate us. Jesus knows this. We know it too. What Jesus continues inviting us to engage today is the ongoing deconstruction of the systemic social construct of greatness, of the pinnacle to be achieved. When Jesus first extends this invitation, it is in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. Today we're in chapter 18. In chapter 5, he describes greatness as being poor in spirit. Greatness is sorrowing. It is being lowly. Greatness is hungering and thirsting for justice. Who's great? Those who show mercy, who are single-hearted and live as peacemakers. Those who are persecuted and insulted. Yes. With the naming of each beatitude, Jesus begins unraveling, deconstructing the socially accepted definition of blessed, of great, of achievement. Today, in chapter 18, he continues the same clarity with a marvelous, unwavering patience toward we disciples. He will not let even one of us be lost in an inauthentic understanding of greatness. In this clear, tender, patient way, he responds, "You ask, who is the greatest? I am glad you asked, because how we define greatness motivates us at our deepest self. Our desire for greatness is a core desire. As my disciples, how do you define it? See this child? Growing, curious, aware, open to others, trusting. This child, both dependent on others and also growing in confidence of her own self, waking up to the realization of her personal power. This is greatness in the kingdom. Not gaining power to charge taxes or fees, not gaining authority to condemn others or tell them what to do, not obtaining a truth to put it in stone. Greatness is as I have said all along, greatness is growing in mercy, choosing to engage compassion. Greatness is consenting to the authority of those who suffer. Greatness is being ready to lay your life down for another, to sacrifice something you would like or maybe even need for a common good. Our own definition of greatness defines us. We seek after it. Perhaps this desire for greatness in each of us is like a petulant child, one we must lovingly, patiently embrace as it grows in understanding of authentic gospel greatness. Perhaps this innate petulant desire in us is why our angel stands in the presence of the Father, our angel, guiding us to stay open and accepting of Jesus' invitation over and over again to continue deconstructing our cultural definition of greatness and to wake up to an authenticity of greatness found in the least of the least. Yes, how we define greatness will motivate us, does motivate us. Jesus knows this, so do we, and he won't give up. He will seek after us as that petulant child seeking after greatness in each of us, even when there's one more part of our own self yet to be corralled and embraced.